have to tell you another story before I forget, because I want you to know this. I don't know if any of you, some of you perhaps have been, when we were having them, the conference on the Holy Spirit in Minneapolis. Anybody ever go to any of those? Yeah. Okay. Some of you been there. Well, for years I was part of what was called the Word Gifts Group, where we operate, we're kind of God's press corps, because they didn't want to open up it to the entire auditorium where there are thousands of people and they didn't know people and you never knew who would stand up and might be some crazy kook. It was people with tested ministries. And experience, and they had to be recognized by the leadership and a part of this. Well, I was, by the grace of God, invited to be a part of that group and served in that capacity for many years. Well, eventually I became in charge of it. And we were at, it was one of the conferences eventually at North Heights, Lutheran Church in Arden Hills. And I went up, I sensed that I was to speak to the gathered body, to the conference, and I sensed that I was to speak in tongues to the body. And when that happens, that should always be interpreted. Otherwise they go, huh? What's that mean? You know, when we're talking to God in tongues, he doesn't need interpretation, does he? He gets it. If we're talking to him or singing in the Spirit, that's to him. But when he chooses to use tongues to communicate to his people, as 1 Corinthians 14 talks about, you always use interpretation so that the people can understand and be blessed. So anyway, I walk up to the microphone, and I'm about to, I sense this, and I always... There were times when this anointing, a unique anointing would come and my heart would start to palpitate and I'd go, yes, God, yes. And I would fight him. Yes, no, yes, no. Finally, okay, I'll do this. And I went to the microphone, opened my mouth, and the normal prayer language, the language that I've had for years, didn't come out. Another language came out. A different language. I never learned. I didn't know what it was. And I spoke to everybody, and then one of the other guys in our group gave the interpretation, and we went on with the service. The next morning, three or four ladies came rushing up to me before the service began. And one of the ladies, they were just crazy with excitement. And they said, do you know what language you were speaking in last night? I said, I don't have a clue. But we did have an interpretation of it, and I knew what God was communicating to the people. And the lady said, well, this lady in our group, she's a missionary in Chile with the Mapuche Indian tribe. You were speaking Mapuche Indian language. It's a very difficult Indian language to learn. It takes missionaries years to learn that language. And you were speaking Mapuche. I'd never heard of Mapuche. Anybody here know anything about the Mapuche Indians? And this was before the internet, and eventually, I had to go to encyclopedias and all kinds of things to try to find stuff about, and sure enough, there was a tribe called the Mapuche. And she was struggling to learn this language, and she had said to the Lord, if this is really you, please speak to me, if this whole thing about the Holy Spirit, and so, here I am speaking in Mapuche, and then she says, if that's really you, Holy Spirit, then there should be in the interpretation this word and this word and this word, because that's what the Mapuche, she knew, she recognized certain phrases and words. And the man that gave the interpretation gave this word and this word and this word and this word. Glory to God. Glory to God. I mean, we're just his vessels. And so the adventure, the opportunity, so we could tell stories about that. But again, I want you to know this is my story. Your story won't be identical to mine. You and the Holy Ghost have your own adventure, your own story. And don't try to replicate and make my story your story or copy from anybody else, but say, Holy Spirit, you know, Take me on an adventure. Fill me. Use me. And he will. He doesn't say, well, you're second class, so you don't get to have an adventure. No. Everybody can have an adventure. Everybody can not just sing about it, but actually do it. Can actually experience it. So, you know, I've been sharing some of my testimony with you about my walk with the Holy Spirit, and you'll hear more in our times together. But that's the power of testimony, the power of testimony. When one person shares with another what God is doing, that's all about what God expects us. Just tell people what God is doing. Then there's the power of the word, and if you turn to the sheet that's also attached here, it's very important not to just chase after spiritual goosebumps, spiritual highs. You know, oh, that was a really good meeting because I felt like God was there. Well, God's always there. And the meeting isn't to be rated on a certain scale because I felt a certain thing. It's what he wants to do. It's what he is about. And it's crucial, if you're going to walk in the way of the Spirit, that you understand what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit and this experience with him. You don't want to be ignorant. And if people want some biblical answers, you got to be ready to give them some answers. And so I want you to see some of these things here. Years ago, Billy Graham said they had no Bibles, no seminaries, no Bible schools, no radios or telephones, no printing presses, no churches, nothing. Does that sound maybe a little bit like your church? You know, it can be stripped away, and yet you can still be a church. They had nothing. However, they turned the world upside down in one generation. What did they have? They had an experience with the living Christ. They had the filling of the Holy Spirit. Those scared rabbits behind locked doors were powerful when they had experienced Pentecost. They flipped the world upside down with the good news of Jesus. And we find in John 16:7, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, Jesus says, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, and Paraclete, Parakleto, Kletos in the Greek, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Paraclete is often the English translation. It's a word that's hard sometimes to put into English, but the P-A-R-A means with in Greek. And kaleo just means to walk. He walks with us. He's the one that walks with us. The Holy Spirit walks with us through life. It's to your advantage, Jesus says, that he goes away so that the one who walks with you can come. That's good news, that the Holy Spirit delights, longs for, wants to walk with you, be with you. Luke 11, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, you fathers, if you, you know, even though you're sinful or evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, the good gift of the Holy Spirit, to those who ask him? He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. There's no conditions on that. You can ask, and he gives. Luke 24, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. If Jesus is at that point of the ascension, he's leaving his dearest disciples, the followers, it's the last time. If you, as parents, husbands, wives, if you're leaving on a long trip, last minute instructions, last minute word to the kids, don't forget, you know, or whatever, make sure you do this. Well, this is the last minute instructions from Jesus when he says, to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Even though you want to go and tell everybody what's happened, wait till the mantle of the Holy Spirit comes on you. And so they waited. They waited in the upper room and waited. And that was fulfilled, as we know it, what we call Pentecost. They were filled. So, the last minute, important instructions from the Master. He didn't start telling parables. He didn't start talking about prayer again. He said, wait for the power. Seek for the power. And then Acts 1, and gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. A baptism with the Holy Spirit. Now, in Greek common language, the word baptize comes, the Greek word is baptizo. It just means to wash. I mean, you baptize the dishes, you baptize the clothes, you baptize the kids' hands, or whatever. It means originally, in secular Greek, in the common language, just to wash. So immerse or saturate, but soak it up. And this, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is to be immersed, to be filled, to be overflowing with the Holy Spirit. But you shall be. It wasn't might be, you shall be, Jesus was saying to his followers. And in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. It's like an atomic bomb going off, Pentecost, and ba-boom, 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 the power goes out, and it's still going out. Matthew 3. As for me, I baptize you in water for repentance, says John the Baptist. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I'm not even fit to remove his sandals. He himself, meaning Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. All four Gospels give an account about how Jesus will be the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. We have the birth of Jesus a bit in Matthew and the big account in Luke. Certain doctrines are in only one of the Gospels, but all four Gospels talk about this Jesus who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. God put it in there in all four Gospels. I think he feels it's important that we get the message. Joel 2, one of the magnificent prophecies of the Old Testament, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and even upon the men servants and the maid servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. A prophecy of this incredible outpouring of the Spirit of the living God. Up to this point, the Spirit was poured out conditionally upon the judges, on Moses, the prophets, on a king as he was anointed to be king. Certain craftsmen they were filled with the Spirit to do their crafts, upon musicians, but it wasn't on all the people. But Joel prophesied here in Joel 2 that a day was coming when it would be upon all flesh. And not just the kings, not the uppity ups, not the talented ones, not the craftsmen, but everybody, men and women, and young and old, rich and poor, all the way to the maidservants and the men servants. This will happen. And so it is that we find Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit was the beginning of the fulfillment of Joel. And when you read the book of Acts, Peter on the day of Pentecost quotes this. This is it, people. It's happening. This is it, the fulfillment of what the prophet Joel said. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. We see in this passage, in verses 14 to 35, Peter, empowered with the Spirit, and he starts telling them about Jesus. He proclaims the good news. Boom! It's his first dramatic telling of what has happened, just happened. I mean, we're just 50 days after the crucifixion and resurrection, basically. And he tells them all about it. And he says it with such power, with such dynamite, with such a tremendous dunamis, as the Greek says, that the people are cut to the quick. And they say, brethren, what shall we do? They're grabbed so powerfully by this. And Peter says, repent. In verse 38, repent, be baptized, talking about water baptism, and receive the Holy Spirit. And in verse 29, he has told them already that this promise about Joel and this outpouring to all men and women, young and old, is for you. It's for you. And how many do we know of? 3,000 people came to Jesus from that first gospel sermon, because of the power of the Spirit that released the good news. Acts 2, it goes into Jerusalem and Judea. Acts 8, into Samaria. Acts 10, to the Gentiles. It leaves. The fire leaps from the Jewish people to the Gentiles. And Peter's, he says, I can't deny it. They even got the Gentiles, the quote pagans. They got the gift of the Spirit. They actually started to speak in tongues, just like us. And then we find in Ephesus in Acts 19. You can look all these up. It's this dynamic explosion of the power of God. One of my favorite verses, Acts 2:39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost ends of the earth, Wisconsin, Minnesota, to the utter ends of the earth, out there in the North Dakota prairies. We had prairie fire of the Holy Ghost going on while we were there. The Lutherans and Catholics were having meetings together, and the Holy Ghost would show up, and all kinds of things. It was phenomenal for you and your children. We're the far off ones, people. We're the far off, not far out, far off ones. Far off. I have to tell you one more thing before I forget. I received that prayer language, that gift of speaking in tongues, in a whisper. And I whispered in that prayer language for a long time. For days and days, whenever I used it, I whispered. Finally, one night during an evening service on campus, I was back at college, I told my friends, and they were so excited, and we would have these meetings, and we would pray, and I would whisper, oh, Jesus, I'd whisper, and my friends, they could be loud, and they could be soft, and they could sing in the Spirit, and I said to the Lord, why can't I do that? He said, you can, and it switched over. And I became vocal in it ever since. It became more than a whisper. You know, on my way down here, I was so joyful about coming to be with you and about the beauty of this spring. I was singing in the Spirit in the car, you know. Nobody else, just me and Jesus, you know, and we're singing away, you know, having a great time. You know, and I go, this is good. My wife tells a story about when she experienced this out in California, the filling of the Spirit, and she received the gift of speaking in tongues, and she was in the shower one day at her college, and she was singing, and it was this magnificent song, and it was just pouring out of her, and she was singing, and when she came out of the shower, she wanted to tell her roommates about the song that God had given her, and she came out, and it was gone. She never remembered it. But it had been a song that she'd been singing to the Lord as a handmaiden of God, just singing away to the Lord. And that's part of the great gift, is that it's not to show off. There have been times, I mean, you know, the Lord has grabbed me as this, you know, I still talk about being this farm kid, you know, and you know, you can get scared when you're with a big group of people. That you don't know, when in a conference or whatever, and the Holy Spirit, I can feel that anointing, and He's, you get used to the sense of what He's starting to ask you. You start hearing things or seeing things in the Spirit or whatever, your heart rate might pick up, and sing to them in the Spirit. Oh God, sing over them in the Spirit, you know, and I've done that. And, you know, and oh, who's that singing? You know, it's the Holy Ghost singing, you know. So, anyway, just wanted to make sure that you know that I did stop whispering. Actually, after all these years, I can whisper, I can go out loud, I can sing, I can even think in tongues. I don't have to make a sound. And I can just start, and it starts. It just comes from use, because God gives the gift, but we gotta use the gift. You gotta practice with it. You gotta work with it. I've been with people in college and afterwards. People say, "Well, I want that," and they'd be prayed for. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Didn't get it, didn't, I knew it, I'm not going to get the gift of tongues. Everybody else does, but I don't get it. And one of the funny ones was, one of the girls in our fellowship in college, she didn't get the gift of tongues. But her roommates at night, when her inhibitions were down and she was sleeping, she was praying out loud in tongues in her sleep. And they in the mornings, you were praying in tongues in your sleep. No, I was not. Yes, you were. And a couple days later, it came out during the daytime. But when she wasn't all uptight like a good little Lutheran or whatever, it happened. So, New Testament terms, you could call this experience with the Holy Spirit. It has a variety of terms here, and you see the scripture passages that I've listed, but it all refers to the same encounter. Being sent what the Father promised, the gift of God, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being clothed with power. The Holy Spirit comes on, the Holy Spirit falls upon, He comes down on, the Holy Spirit is poured out on, the Spirit is given. These are all biblical phrases of this encounter with the Holy Spirit. And you can see the verses there. But like I said, it's important for us to know the Word of God. You know, to be able to take people to the Scriptures and point out that the promise that the Father has made, and He keeps His promises. He made a promise. And so the wonderful, wonderful sense of the gift that the Father gives has been given. And so we delight, we're thrilled to be the recipients of this gift from God. Let's pause for a second before we go to the next section. I'm talking more about the actual, more about the receiving of this.